plane, touched down in the land of the Delta Blues, in the middle of the pouring rain. W.C. Handy, won't you look down over me? Yeah, I got a first class ticket, but I'm as blue as a boy can be. Then I'm walking in Memphis, just walking with my feet 10 feet.
What a great song. What a great song. Joining us now is the composer and singer of that iconic American popular rock standard, Mark Cohn, who is actually going to be in our neighborhood. Mark is going to be in Hartford doing his show at Infinity Hall on January 9th. What is that, tomorrow night? And I think, Mark, you're also going to be, I just heard, at the Fairfield Theater Club. Is that right? Maybe in a week or so? I'm not sure. Mark Cohn, welcome to the Lisa Wexler Show. Hi.
Thank you. Hi, Lisa. Yes, no, I'm playing Hartford tonight at Infinity Hall. I'm leaving in a couple of hours. And then I'm playing two shows in Fairfield. I don't remember that date, but it's on my website.
Okay, good. So it's Mark Cohn's.
Yeah, two shows that night.
Perfect. C-O-H-N. And do you know if you're at the Fairfield Theater Club? That's probably where you are at the FTC. Do you even know?
Yeah, that's the one with the big room and the small room.
Right? Yeah, yeah.
I think there's two different rooms.
Yeah, it's a fun
place.
So
I'm playing the small room, but two shows in one night.
Very nice. That's fantastic.
Yeah, I like it there. It's nice and intimate.
Have you been to Connecticut before?
Oh, man. I lived in Connecticut for years. I wrote most of my first two records in a house in Wilton, Connecticut.
No way.
Yeah, my brother was a doctor in Wilton, lived in Weston for the last 45 years, still does. I have deep, deep ties to Connecticut. It's almost like my second home.
Wait a minute. Your brother's a doctor in Weston? What's his, what kind of specialty? Maybe I've gone to him. What's his name?
He was a doctor in Wilton. His name is Dr. Warren Cohn.
Warren Cohn? I don't know him. I don't think I've been to him. And it's C-O-H-N.
C-O-H-N,
what,
yeah.
Is he an internist or something?
He's retired now, pretty much retired. But yeah, he was an internist, family doctor, made house calls. One of the loveliest, sweetest men you could ever hope to know.
I love it. So you lived in Wilton all these years. Yeah, you've got four kids, Mark. Did they go to the Wilton public schools? Did you raise any of them here? No.
No. My home in Wilton was really a summer weekend place. So I've always been living in the city, but I actually got this house to write so I could get some quiet, and it worked.
That's fantastic. So where did you write Walking in Memphis?
I started writing that in New York City, but I finished it in Wilton, in the house that I had back then. I mean, I haven't been in that house for years. But, yeah, there's a song on my first record that James Taylor sings on called Perfect Love. And it's all about my brother, and it references places like The Sound in Long Island, and it's a very Connecticut-based song.
Wow, that is so cool. Wilton's a great town. I live on a street where the beginning of my street is in Wilton. So I'm on the border of Westport and Wilton, right off of Route 33. You passed it a million times on your way to, you know, the Merritt Parkway.
Yeah.
And a little bit of my
street's
in Wilton also, yeah. And in fact, I'm going to Orem's Diner on Tuesday morning. I mean, I'm always at Orem's Diner. I mean, when am I not at Orem's Diner? I'm always at Orem's Diner. And I apologize for this frog in my voice. I'm fighting the flu for the third day in a row, but thank God for Tamiflu. I heard today, Mark, that Connecticut, as of today, is the sickest state in the country. We have 5% of the people down with some kind of respiratory or flu-like
thing.
No, I'm not kidding, so stay away.
Maybe my brother needs to come out of retirement.
Maybe so. It's a crazy thing. So it's so nice to chat with you. I was reading that you went to Beechwood High School in Cleveland.
Right.
I stayed there. It's sort of complicated, but you remember that the RNC was in Cleveland the last time, and so I had a friend with a cousin there because I was covering it for the show, and I was wondering if you know Ellen Ratner, the Ratner family, because they were pretty prominent there.
I know that name.
Yeah.
For sure. That's a name I'm familiar with, but I don't think I knew them.
Yeah, she's a good friend of mine. We're all around the same age. That's why I thought maybe you would know. So you had this fantastic career. Early on, you were with Jimmy Webb and the Stoller Brothers. What were you doing there? Were you just showing them your songs and hoping that they would sing them and record them?
No, Jimmy Webb and Lieber and Stoller, all just legendary songwriters and heroes of mine since I was a kid. When I moved to New York, I had a demo tape circulating of me singing my songs. But the first thing that happened before I got signed was that these other songwriters started hiring me to sing demos of their songs to try to get them on records. So I wasn't well known enough to be the artist they were looking for, but they loved my voice, and they asked me to do the demos that were then sent to record companies for other signed artists.
You do have this fantastic voice, and when I hear it, and don't be insulted, maybe you won't be, but I always think I'm listening to Bruce Springsteen.
I'm not insulted. I mean, Bruce is one of my favorite singers and songwriters. I think he's amazing. But, you know, he's got enough hits. I just want people to be clear that that one's mine.
I know that. I know, but it's...
I'm definitely influenced by Bruce. There's no doubt about it. But the fact that we have similar voices... I mean, if you really heard our voices side by side, his is much... I think it's much gruffer in a way. Mine's a little smoother, but I love him. I adore him. So I'm sure that there are elements of what he's done over the years that showed up in my music and my voice.
Yeah, and the song Walking in Memphis, it just exploded. Absolutely yeah. exploded. You won the Grammy for Best New Artist at the time. What was that, 92?
Yeah, that's right.
And your album, Cone, I mean, it stood alone. It was a big deal. And then you followed up with a lot of other albums. So your musical career, I think there should be a plaque outside that house in Wilton that says Walking in Memphis was written here. Because every time I hear that song, it's an iconic song. I think it's been praised and prized as such, right?
It has. I mean, it's been my calling card. It's, you know, Tony Bennett talks about I Left My Heart in San Francisco as his calling card, which I relate to. And I feel very proud. I just was listening while you were playing it, waiting to talk to you. And even after all these years, I still feel intermittently this incredible sense of pride. I really love that that song has, you know, really sort of traveled the world. And I followed it. It's known everywhere. I mean, there's nothing like singing a song in English in the middle of Germany or God knows where, and people are singing along with every word. And luckily, I've had my audience stays with me because of other songs, too. But that one clearly has become my calling card.
Absolutely.
I'm very proud.
We're chatting with Mark Cohn, who wrote Walking in Memphis and who is going to be tonight in Hartford at the Infinity Theater and then over the weekend at FTC. So don't forget to look at his website to find out how to get tickets and how to make sure that you get to the show on time. I was really interested that you started a band early on called The Supreme Court and somehow got the gig to play at Caroline Kennedy's wedding. How did that come to be?
It's interesting you mention that because there's a book that just came out that Carly Simon wrote. It's a memoir about her and Jackie Onassis. They had a very close friendship. It's a book called Touched by the Sun. And somebody just told me that I'm in there because right around the time Caroline got married, I had this R&B band. I wasn't a signed artist yet, but I was already singing demos, like I explained to you. So I had a bit of a profile. And this band and I played at a place called the China Club a lot back in the mid-80s, I would say. And one day, Carly Simon walked in because she'd been asked by Jackie Onassis to try to find, not a wedding band, but a great band to play for Caroline. And would they consider, and would Carly, if she found a band she was comfortable with, consider singing with the band? So our last show together, this band of mine called the Supreme Court, was playing Caroline Kennedy's wedding and backing up Carly Simon.
I can't even handle it.
And then
it.
We did a few songs as duets and, you know, I met the whole Kennedy family. It was absolutely magical.
That's unbelievable. Did they get married in Hyannis? Where'd they get married?
Yeah, in Hyannis. They had a beautiful, huge tent with more flowers than I've ever seen in one place in my life. And, you know, the minute I got there, Jackie Onassis came out to greet me. I mean, it was just remarkable.
Can't even handle it. Oh, my God.
Remarkable.
It is amazing where your talent will take you, right, Mark? I mean, it's extraordinary.
Well, I have to say, that's the one I feel very, very blessed and fortunate about that. I have ended up becoming friends and collaborators with some, if not most, of my earliest heroes. It's just a remarkable thing. All because of music,
right? Because you know, music is the language. I was reading that, what was it, very recently you were in Carnegie Hall with this amazing the music of Van Morrison show and all these other people were there with you, including the Blind Boys of Alabama and Josh Ritter and I think Miley Cyrus was she there? No, she was
she
at
wasn't
another
part
thing.
Of that. No, but we played this huge event called Memphis in May this past May. And Miley joined me for Walking in Memphis in front of about 15,000 people.
She's got great pipes, doesn't she? She's
fantastic.
She is fantastic. I think she's fantastic.
I mean, I know people, you know, they're all, I don't know, critical about whatever she stands for or what she does media-wise. I don't care about all that. She's a really, really good artist.
She's a great entertainer.
Great entertainer. And I don't know, do you remember... Did you see the Saturday Night Live 40th anniversary where she came out and sang Paul Simon's 50 Ways to Leave Your Lover?
Amazing. Sold the show.
Amazing. Amazing. Incredible.
And she's sort of a force of nature. She's got this height, you know, and she uses it to her advantage and this beautiful figure. And, you know, she's a long way from Hannah Montana, but she has all of that behind her. In other words, that early exposure to Hollywood, you just can't phase her. You know, that's it.
No, she's amazing. I was really impressed and a total pro. I mean, that isn't the song she sings every night. It's the song I sing every night. And she killed it.
She killed it, yes.
She's great.
She's great. We're chatting with Mark Cohn, who's going to be tonight at the Infinity Hall Theater in Hartford. And then is it tomorrow night in Fairfield? Tomorrow's Friday already.
Fairfield shows are in a couple of weeks.
Oh, in a couple of weeks.
I'm doing some other shows and then coming back around to Connecticut.
Okay, perfect, perfect. So I wanted to ask you, I can't help it, I got to ask you about what happened to you in 2005 in a carjacking. What happened to you?
it's sort of a long story. I'm glad I can laugh about it now. I was doing a show at a beautiful venue that I've always loved. It's called the Botanic Gardens in Denver. And we were leaving the venue on our way to the hotel in our van that we use when we travel short distances. And I was in the second row of the car, and I was the only one who noticed this very ominous scene kind of developing around us, which turned out to be a guy that was being chased because he was trying to get out of town. It's complicated, but basically he was attempting to take our van to get out of town. And my tour manager was driving. He didn't see the guy that appeared right in front of our car, even though we were still moving at a slow pace. But I was the first one that saw that this guy that looked completely crazy and out of his mind had a gun.
Oh.
And he shot right through the windshield of the van. And the bullet, it was a .22 caliber bullet. It went through a windshield, then grazed my tour manager's chin and landed inside of my head, right above my left temple.
Unbelievable.
And never lost consciousness. It was just this, the whole bullet was sitting in a little bit of soft tissue right outside my skull.
Oh,
and there it sat, and I never lost consciousness. I bled a lot. I watched the doctors take the bullet out, and they basically said, "You are the unluckiest lucky bastard we've met in a long time." I mean, everybody was like, "We don't know why you're alive." It was a centimeter away from my skull.
Oh.
But the fact that the bullet was a .22 caliber and that it went through a windshield slowed it down just enough to save my life.
That's unbelievable. And after that, did you look at your life differently? Was it one of these, you know, like life-changing events? Or was it just a, you know, thank God I'm okay kind of an event?
It was... traumatizing.
Yeah.
You know, I had to sort of get over some post-traumatic stress and went to a therapist to help me through that.
I would think so.
So, I mean, I took care of myself. I did what I needed to do to get healthy again and sort of, you know, but it popped that bubble we all walk around with where we think we're safe.
Right.
And immune to all harm.
Right.
Which is, that keeps us sane. You know, that's a good thing.
Mm-hmm.
We
it
walk
is.
Around a little deluded.
No, it's true. And you were in your 40s. You were probably thinking of yourself as immortal, you know, in
absolutely.
Your 40s. Yep.
And that was the beginning of, you know, not believing that anymore.
Right.
Which is okay. I mean, that's okay. And the fact that it changed my life, it's funny. I was never more creative than after that happened and never more into doing my shows. The fact that I had an audience was something I always was grateful for, but even more so after this event. And I've done more shows since I got shot, which is about 14 years now, than I did in the prior 20 years of my career. So It was a very, very difficult time. But another thing that I look at and go, sometimes I don't even believe my own story.
It is quite extraordinary.
Yeah, it is.
And when you perform, Mark, we're chatting with Mark Cohn. When you perform, are you with a band? Are you mostly solo? How do you? What's going on? If people come to the show tonight, what can they expect?
I perform all different kinds of ways over the years because I'm always trying to keep the show fresh for myself and the audience. Tonight I'm playing with a fantastic group of musicians, four guys including me, two of whom I've been playing with on and off for the last several years, all great. The percussionist played with Sting. The keyboard player is about to go on the road with my friend Bonnie Raitt. So they're the top of the cream of the crop, top of the top, and a fantastic band. And we're able together, because it's not an enormous group, to really play whatever we want on a particular night. So it keeps it fresh for us, and I think every time people come to see me, there's something a little bit different.
And you like it. You like performing.
I love performing. Love it. I mean, the travel can get wearying and difficult, but the 2 hours on stage make it worth it.
Yeah, we're chatting with Mark Cohn, walking in Memphis with that gravelly, fabulous voice. Has your singing voice changed a lot in the interim since 1991 when that record first came out?
I think it's better. Mm. I just think it's gotten a little bit, it's even smoother than it was. I don't know how to explain it, but it's worn well. I mean, I've taken care of it. But yeah, I think it's a more mature voice. You know, Tony Bennett sounded great. I mentioned Tony Bennett.
He sounds unbelievable. I have friends that just saw him at the Stanford Palace this year. You know, he's 90, isn't he, or approaching 90?
Pretty close.
And I saw him when he was 85, and I couldn't even believe what he was doing. And he's still doing it. He's a freak of nature. It's unbelievable.
And his voice, I mean, he hits these really high notes. See, I was very smart. Back when I recorded my songs, up to this day, I never do what some artists do, which is write the songs at the top of my range. Mm. I always kept them in a comfortable place, so I don't have to worry particularly about lots of high notes.
Right. That's good.
So I can still sing my early songs in the same key.
Excellent. That's good. Well, Mark Cohn, it's really been a pleasure to get to know you. I didn't realize about your close Connecticut connections. That's perfectly wonderful for us, and so welcome back. And have a great time tonight in Hartford and have a great time in a couple of weeks at FTC. And come back on the show anytime. I'd love to have you back on.
That would be great. I appreciate your interest, and I want everybody to come out who doesn't have the flu.
Absolutely. Right. If you're not sick, definitely make your way to the Infinity Theater in Hartford tonight to see Mark Cohn. Thank you, Mark.
Thank you.
Pleasure.
You're welcome. Thank you.
The Lisa Wexler Show, WICC 600. We'll be right back.